Come in, Peter. Are you there, Peter?
Hello there. How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Where are you right now, Peter?
So I'm charging up the Northern Bus motorway. I'm heading towards Constellation Drive. I'm about to jump off the bus so you can have a quiet conversation. It'll be a brief moment while I tag off.
How many people on the bus right now?
These Northern Expresses are pretty crowded, and there's a huge crowd waiting to get on it. So,
okay, let's hope they're into what we're about to talk about, because we're about to talk about it.
There we are. I'm tagged off.
Okay, sweet. Now,
yes. So what I want to talk about today is the topic of you would have heard of the Untouchables of India, I presume.
No, I am not familiar with the Untouchables, Peter.
Sounds like some kind of movie franchise to me.
Okay. Well, my goodness, you've got a bit of a catching up to do. So in Hinduism, a caste society ranks most people according to their kind of role in the community, but it also creates religious obligations. So at the top are the Brahmins, who are the kind of scholar priest class, and then there are a series of different classes. And Hinduism is not one thing, so there's a whole variety of models. But then there's always a group of people left out, and these are the untouchables who really pollute. They pollute a society, and so if you come in connection with them, you in fact impugn your own religious integrity. And so the untouchables are those marked out in Indian society as really not fitting within the normal range. And these are the scum of Indian society and in Hinduism. And it's a pretty revolting position, you can imagine. Gandhi called them the Harijan, the beloved, trying to sort of redress the situation.
A bit of a rebrand. Although yes, Untouchable sounds kind of good. It's like, ruling it, you know.
Depends on your point of view. The Indian government calls them the scheduled classes.
Mm.
And the scheduled classes are those who technically have different rights from other people.
Ooh.
They're not protected in the way that other parts of the society are. And I was drawn to the subject because I was reading something about Bengal over the time of the Indian independence movement. Something that we've never talked about, the untouchables. They're really victims.
Sounds like some bullying going on, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And so that the name that they tend to use is the Dalits, and the Dalits means the oppressed. And so they...
Sorry, did you say the Daleks?
Dalit, D-A-L-I-T, yes.
Okay.
And that in Hindi means, I think, the oppressed or the persecuted. And so...
Is that did you spell that like Daleks, like exterminate Daleks?
Well, yes, I suppose.
What the hell is going on right now? I think we might have just scratched something out.
Yes. Okay. So, for the Dalits, I mean, you can imagine that this is... It's not attractive being a Hindu, and yet that's the only option that they seem to have.
Hmm.
And over the centuries, one of the things that's happened in recent centuries is a lot of the Dalits have converted to another religion. I mean, the form of Hinduism that's branded them in this way, you know, it's not terribly an attractive form for them to belong to.
I didn't think Hinduism had a nasty streak.
Oh, yes, well,
like this,
and increasingly this is... under the law of India. India, in theory, is a secular democracy.
Mm. So there's but a way the, to Hindu properly, kind of thing.
Yeah, and in the last 10, 15 years, under the BJP, which I think we've talked about recently, what's happened is that the Dalits have been increasingly treated as an exception under the law. And so I was reading a report in the Hindu, that's the standard newspaper of New Delhi, about how another member of society kills a Dalit who he kicks to death lying in a railway station because he's a scumbag and he wouldn't want to respect. And he gets 10 years imprisonment for that, which is a shock to ordinary Hindus to think, well, what would it be supposed to do with Dalits? Whereas others, of course, would get the death sentence for killing another person.
Right.
And so it's increasingly not an equal society. And so Dalits in quite large numbers have been converting to Islam.
I guess there's quite a massive disparity in like in the rich and the poor in India and like classism, I'd assume, you know.
Remember when it's ringed around with religious rule.
Yeah.
So it's not a class society but a caste society. That
right.
makes it particularly disturbing.
Mm.
Could you be an affluent Dalit? Is that possible? Or by the time you've become affluent, you've disregarded any sort of religious affiliation you have?
In it would be very interesting to know, and some of your listeners might be able to help us understand how active the caste system is in New Zealand, because it would seem to me that a Dalit who was trying to do well would be best to leave India. And it's sitting at the time that India, Pakistan, in the Great Separation of 1947, what happened was that a lot of Dalits thought they'd become Muslims or go to Pakistan because there they might be treated better, because in theory, I mean, Islam is not a caste system.
Right.
It turned out that they weren't better off, that they were treated because they weren't true believers in Allah. Then they got no respect from the society, and many of them then changed their mind and tried to go back, especially going across to West Bengal to near Calcutta.
Mm.
And the current situation is that those that convert to Islam or Christianity then suddenly find that because of this, some of the special protections as well as punishments that the law provides for the Dalits suddenly didn't apply for them. And so they're actually exposed as nobodies, absolute nobodies. And so this is a very interesting way in which Indian society is becoming more and more set in a kind of religious mold.
Mm.
Okay. Is there any backing out of this once they start heading down this track in the modern world?
Do we have like a head count on how many Dalits there are kicking around?
Yes. Yeah. We're talking of overall in Indian society, it's 8%. So that's about. Let me see.
Well, that'd be quite a lot, though, wouldn't it?
That's a lot of people. So yeah. We're talking of maybe 60 million people. In some parts, in Uttar Pradesh, it's 22% of the population, but in most places it's a lot lower than that.
Okay.
But just because of peculiarities of the way society works and the untouchables. When I was in India in 2005, I remember being taken to a quarry, and the Europeans who took me there said, "You look around. These are actually slaves. They're indentured labour. They have no freedom of their person. They're untouchables. They do this filthy and disgusting work because, in fact, they have virtually no rights."
It's tragic.
So I think this is actually getting tougher, tougher in Indian society, not easier. And that's the disturbing thing to me.
Right. Right.
Okay. It's crazy to, it's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? But is it, so this is a general trend, like all of the Dalits would be most of the people living in sort of this sort of level of poverty in India?
No, I think a lot of other people are living in poverty, but as the poverty sort of fortress starts to move, in fact, it's the Dalits who are the last to benefit from this.
It's interesting how like a person's religion sort of dictates how they're treated rather than the government of the country, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what makes it kind of sticky.
What is troubling is when the now that with an increasingly Hindu party in power, the law is ceasing to try to redress what popular opinion has.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a disturbing trend of the way in which you know, religion is by no means weak in most parts of the world.
Of course. Mm. All right, Peter. Well, we might wrap it up there, and we shall check in with you next week. And good luck catching that next bus. Hopefully, it's not too far away.
Yeah, very good.
Thanks,
okay.
Bud.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.